Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Racism Daily Podcast. My name is Nicole Cardoza, and this podcast focuses on tangible ways that we can dismantle white supremacy and create a more equitable future for us all.
The growing creator economy is connecting consumers directly to some of the brightest talent out there, talent that's often overlooked by the gatekeepers of their respective industries. Investing in the creator economy gives us an intimate relationship with the people behind the content we love most, but also provides innovative ways to invest and elevate in marginalized voices. To learn more about the creator economy and its potential to permanently reshape culture, I chatted with Tiffany Stevenson, Chief People Officer at Patreon.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Such a treat. I'm such a fan of yours. So I'm like, any opportunity to have a conversation, I'm like, I'm in.
Oh, likewise. I mean, it was, you know, when we were chatting, you know, in the conversation that we had at Patreon, I didn't get to ask you any questions. And so I'm just very excited to have you here. But before we get started, would you mind just introducing yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Tiffany Stevenson, and I am the Chief People Officer at Patreon. At Patreon, we want to change the way that art is valued, and we get to enable over 200,000 creators to connect with the fans and members who love them. I have the pleasure of looking after about 300 patronauts, that's what we call ourselves, and looking after everything from how we think about onboarding, developing, and creating a great, healthy, and high-performing culture. So I get the pleasure to do that with this incredible people and communities team. Yeah, that's a little bit about me.
And I know that I'm real grateful for you and for that whole community as well. I mean, our work, this podcast wouldn't be possible without the platform that Patreon has created. And y'all have really held us intentionally over the past year. So I'm grateful. But with your work, you've been doing this work, you know, working with people in diversity and belonging and equity for some time now. So I'd love to hear about how you got here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I have always thought about is in very early in my career, I started in the hotel industry, which is just a whole nother podcast just on that. But I was always really fascinated because we were opening new properties, is seeing the intersection that comes from you having a very clear business strategy, whatever it is, you know, expansion, growth, sales, you have big plans, right? But you have to get it done with people. And I think one of the things I've always been fascinated by, and I see time and time again, is that culture kind of eats strategy for breakfast. So you can have the best strategy in the world and it could be just so stellar, but it's going to live or die by the folks who, you know, really are out there making it happen and believe, and they feel like this is a part of their purpose and they're executing. So that's always been something that I've been super fascinated by and thinking about, what is it that drives culture to peaks of performance and being able to deliver better than others, faster than others. And I think it really comes down to having that focus on culture and people development as a core part, just like you think about your business roadmap. And so that has really driven my career. I've had the opportunity to do it across multiple industries, and Patreon is just a lovely place that I get to bring it all together.
That's incredible. You know, I think as a creator and watching the creator economy grow, it reminds me of how resourced we have to be as individuals, because our role is so rooted in people, right? Like, being a creator means being in close proximity to thousands, hundreds of thousands of strangers on the internet. And so I'm curious how you think of the work of people and people organizing in the creator economy, and how you see these two worlds kind of intersecting.
Yeah.
Or if you see them intersecting.
You know, I absolutely see them intersecting. Like, I'm personally, like, what gets me super amped is just seeing the expansion of creators and just the platforms that, whatever the form or medium, just having the broader platform to be able to kind of reach and connect with wider swaths of audiences. I would say what sponsorship probably looked like in the past was, you know, people wanting to have a lot of control and ownership of your medium and of your art and what you do and deliver. It needed to fit a certain mold or a certain box or have certain parameters. And so I'm really excited to see the growth around that, because I think that that is an important part of equity and an important part of inclusion. It really sort of creates visibility and it lends power to voices that deserve to be seen and be heard. Like, I just think about the things that I immediately have access to today. And I'm like, I see myself in that story. Or even if I don't, it's like I've learned something about a community I didn't even know I needed to know more about. And that comes through having that freedom. And so I think that that intersection is so true and it's so valued and it's so needed. It's so making our world better. And I would say the other thing that I also get really, sorry, you're going to get my passion.
Yeah, this is what I want. Never apologize.
The other thing that I also get really amped about is seeing just brand ownership and independence. And I think just seeing new ways of investment and seeing more opportunities for creators to really have that ownership and empowerment, it makes me like super proud, because it means that you don't have to make those compromises. And that's what makes me so proud to be a part of Patreon and being a part of that community. And actually in June for Black Music Month, we got to host this symposium, and we invited like several like really prominent creators to talk to other creators about just like sharing their wisdom on this idea of owning your brand. And I just think that just having options on ways that creators can do that drives equity in a way that I haven't seen in my lifetime. And it really makes me proud. And I think that same mindset of just wanting to have a wide swath of voices showcase their creativity and their art and bringing those mediums, if that's true outside, I think also creating forums internally where that gets to happen as well is sort of how I see that intersection coming together. And so it's an exciting challenge that I get to think about in the people land, you know, thinking about it from a people officer role. But I think certainly the ability that we have as at Patreon to really help support that externally makes me really proud.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. And I've just started to learn more about the other creators on the platform. And I'm just like endless. It brings me so much joy to know that there's people that might be overlooked by the traditional media, or, you know, like I think about songwriters, like maybe not ever getting like a label to pick them up, but like still are like, you know, thriving and creating beautiful stuff and doing it in relationship, like in partnership with their community.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I, you know, when I was starting the conversations with Patreon, one of the things that really motivated me thinking about the importance of that impact is something I do outside of work. I'm on the board of directors for the Museum of the African Diaspora in San Francisco. And I think very similarly, I think in the fine arts community, a lot of really talented, incredible artists were not being shown in some of these prominent galleries or in these museums. And I think that that museum really became sort of a place where you could really kind of be able to hone your craft and be able to have the ability to be seen in that visibility. So getting to see it sort of even outside of work and seeing the importance that that has of having those places and spaces where you get to just like unbridled, I'm gonna just show my art and let it unleash it. I think seeing it there and then seeing it at Patreon, I was like, I definitely see this overlap. And my only hope in life is that we start to see more like kids, you know, when it's like, when you have that little report that you're supposed to write on what you wanna be when you grow up, I wanna see more people saying, I wanna be a creator. Like that is totally what I wanna do. And people are like, that's totally a viable option for you. Let's think about how we can harness that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, I also love, you know, the way that part of the way that the creator economy is growing is that it's inviting people to the table to invest in what they care about too, right? Like it's not just the creator being able to overcome maybe traditional barriers for representation and visibility and sustainability. It's like, if we're going to build something, we're going to do it together. And I think that, you know, it empowers fans, supporters in a way to actually shift and transform the landscape that these creators are occupying. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it makes me think, and I see this parallel in the work that we do sort of on, you know, with a human resources mindset. And I certainly see it in what you're saying as well with members who are able to kind of be a part of this. And I think it's, you know, in my head, it's kind of like, these are micro movements. And I think sometimes in life, we think moment, and it's like, I'm going to cut this person a check and there you go. But we know that that work is ongoing. And even though we appreciate all of that investment, when you really want to talk about creating a movement, it's creating this ongoing opportunity to really show and vote with your support that happens over a series of time that you're able to really lift a creator into a space where they're really able to sort of amplify the work that they do. And I think that that is so important of kind of thinking about the long term, playing the long game, that continued investment that I think creates that systemic change. Similarly, you know, I think from a people perspective, I have that exact same thought. It's like, I wish there was a light switch, and it's like, all of the things that we need to work on are done, but we never have that finish line mentality. It's like, it's always ongoing. So I definitely see a lot of intersections there as well.
Yeah. I think over the past year, it seems like a lot of companies are awakening to this idea that people is really important and centering equity and inclusion is important. How do you see this conversation shaping the people roles in the years to come?
Yeah. Oh, in so many ways. I think the role, you know, the way that I sort of try to evaluate my own impact is, you know, are we helping to build a healthy and thriving and high performing, you know, community inside so that we can leverage that to do it outside? And I definitely see this starting to evolve in a lot of ways that actually really excite me. The chief people officer role, you know, also I would say could also be the chief purpose officer. So the other P, which is really thinking about how are we helping to codify our company's purpose to help make sure that it scales. And I think when you're super clear on sort of why you exist and the problem that you are uniquely set out to solve and why it matters and the way in which you want to see that come to life, then it then makes sort of a lot of other decisions. The tactic is like how to then make sure that it feels codified in all of the ways that you think about, be it how you hire, how you onboard, performance management, how promotions work, what we talk about, who we celebrate, how we make decisions, you know, how we think about diversity and inclusion, how do we think about social impact. So I think it really opens the door to really think about creating that sense of alignment, I would say. And I think that that is definitely one area that I see, you know, in the people space, continued challenge for myself. So you're not hearing a finish line, you're hearing like a starting line. Like this is definitely an area that I'm super excited about, you know, continuing to push in our craft and what we do. And then I also think the other big thing that I think is changing and evolving is we just don't have the luxury of compartmentalizing life as we've done in the past. And that's something that I hear from you so well of in our conversation that we had, of just recognizing the wholeness and the whole personness that we bring into our spaces day in and day out. I think this last year, if it's taught us nothing, it's that we have to have an extra ear for those things that are happening and impacting people. You know, if you take what happened with George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, the rise in, you know, AAPI violence, COVID-19, depression, anxiety, the care that we've been providing for, I mean, the list goes on and on. It's like that is all coming to work with us. And for those of us that work in a, you know, a remote or hybrid environment, like you're literally seeing my home as I'm like having conversation with you and trying to get my work done. So I think this idea of thinking about whole person in a variety of ways is a newer call to action than I think we've ever had to think about. Like, I think in the people space, it was like, make sure they have dental care, they can go to the doctor. You know what I mean? It was pretty simple on like what's happening in your life outside of work. And now it's kind of like, I'm managing all of that while I'm also trying to get this work done. So what do we now expect from our managers? What do we now expect in terms of what we provide? How do we think about these complex problems? Like, what does returning to work look like? So I think the new sort of people strategy really has to build some of that in and factor that in order to do it really, really well.
Yeah, that's well put. I was, you know, thinking as you were talking about how for many creators, I think a lot of creators become popular maybe because of that, the lack of boundaries, right? Like you have people that, you know, will post things on Instagram and then all of a sudden they launch a side business, or people are really engaging with the musician because they get to kind of see the behind the scenes. And so I feel like organizations like Patreon have like a very unique view into that role because you're working with people that might have like so little distinction between who they are as a person and what their business is, because oftentimes it's one and the same. Oftentimes, I don't know for everybody. I don't want to speak for every creator, but
no, it's true. It's true. I think that what I love about creators is there's a level of vulnerability that comes from offering your craft, something that's so deeply personal to you, to the world. And I definitely see it taking a lot of different forms and mediums. And so it has been really exciting. One of the things that we've been able to do, we host a series called Patreon Presents, and you've obviously been a part of that. But I think what's been amazing is that, you know, you kind of know the Nicole Cardoza that's doing the posts and has all of these things that we get to see, but just literally just having a conversation and hearing your journey and hearing your story and hearing all the things that have made you who you are. That's something that we love. And I think that everyone loves that. And I think our goal is like, how do we open more windows so that we get to see that? And I also think the thing that is seeing how many of our employees are also creators. You pick the medium and someone is doing it across the board, all the way sort of course, we know Jack, our founder, obviously is an incredible musician. And there's so many musicians in our company. There's so many artists in our company. So it's really inspiring to be in a community where people are applying their craft, but also their love of the craft into like us building an incredible platform so that we can ensure that we're just fostering that. So it's a really interestingly amazing place to work from that perspective as well. I'm just like, I feel like I should be more talented. I'm like, what's my skill? I question it. I'm like, man, I need more. I need more craft.
Well, I think you're incredibly skilled. And so I can imagine it's like endless inspiration. I feel like I would take up a new hobby every week if I was working.
I'm telling you. I had a meeting with someone. I'm not going to out them because they'll probably be mad. But we there was a piano near us and we were kind of on break. And this person just got behind the piano and just started. I'm just like, my jaw dropped. I'm like, I didn't know you played piano. And B, it's like, I would pay to hear you play the piano. And you just are just doing it because this is our community. This is what we do. So people just give so freely of that. And it's really special.
That's incredible. And I think it also speaks to the environment that y'all have created for each other too, right? Like to be able to bring your full self to work, even if it wasn't Patreon and it wasn't a creator driven company, right? And that wasn't your focus. I would imagine that the work that y'all are doing are making people feel comfortable to play the piano between meetings.
Yeah. Do a set in between a meeting. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I don't take it for granted. And I think that kind of circling back on the conversation on just like this idea that, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. It's like, it takes work and it's the micro decisions that we make. It's the clarity of your purpose and aligning it with your purpose. It's all that work that creates that culture. And it gets me up in the morning and I think about it all the way till I go to bed at night, is like how we can make sure that we're doing what we can to kind of remove the obstacles to make that so. But I neither take it for granted, nor do I like go to bed and not appreciate the fact that I get to be a part of it. And so my goal hopefully is just to uplift it and amplify it while we're continuing to build this incredible platform and continue to chip away so that we ensure that all of our creators and members who love them have the best experience possible. So it's really motivating.
That's incredible. I can imagine that sometimes the work can get difficult. Or, you know, at least coming across obstacles, and just in the context of anybody working during this time, I think we should all be off forever on paid leave, just in the context of this world. But I'd love to hear from you, like, how do you stay resourced as you're doing this work?
Oh, listen, let's all be real on that. It is a practice, meaning that we have to practice at it. There are weeks where it's better and weeks where it's not. And I definitely am a big believer in sort of energy management. So there are moments where I'm going to be expending energy to get something done that's an incredibly important part of my work. But I know that I can't live in that space without me not showing up in the best way possible. So if I'm going to be hard charging here, something has to give there. And I try to take moments to take stock of where I am in that moment. And I think that's the practice part, and know when it's like, this is actually good enough and I'm going to step away, or I need to ask for help because this is now starting to get to a place where it's not tenable. So I think that's the practice part of just always squaring up with yourself at the end of the day and making sure that you're making the right decision so that you can go long. So we talked a little bit about this idea of movement versus moment. And if you go so hard on the moment that you lose the movement that you're trying to make, then you're not really winning at the end of the day. And so I think that's where I just try to reconcile and take action. I also am very grateful for my village. So I have an incredible village, and it's made up of so many different communities, whether it's my coworkers at Patreon, so my fellow Patreonauts, my team who definitely help keep it real, help make sure that we're pushing through. But certainly outside of work, my incredible village of, you know, the aunties that keep it real, that hold that mirror, friends, my personal board of directors who are constantly pushing me and challenging me, and therapy, hello, all of it. So I think just making sure that you have that village and you feel comfortable to lean in is a practice that I'm also working on. And then I do take a lot of walks. I drink champagne on Saturdays, like go to church on Sundays. Yeah, it's all of it. But I think together, I think helps me feel like I can present my best self and come back recharged into the work.
Do you have any recommendations for anybody that might be listening who's interested in getting into a people-oriented role?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting for me is I didn't start in a people-oriented role. And so I hope my story in some random way could help others who maybe are not in a people-oriented role today. I think in any team, and this was certainly my experience. So I told you I started in a hotel business. Part of my work was, you know, I was leading a team of folks. And in that practice, I think one of the things that I got really interested in is like, what really motivates my team to do their best work? What were some common themes that I was seeing in our ability to get our work done? And I think that got me really excited about, wow, I'm going to take a step back and like, how am I leading and what are ways that I can actually help, whether it's more training or development or coaching? And so kind of leaning into the practices that helped, you know, get my team to, you know, the level of performance and gelling, and we're really proud of each other and rooting each other on and keeping it real with each other. It was that practice that got me thinking about, hey, I want to do this for more folks. And that got me into a career path in training and development, where I was like, how do I kind of scale some of these best practices and experiences into training? So I generally, like, my career experience has been, I kind of chase the problem that really gets me passionate. And then I ask for opportunities to try something on, do something, And thankfully, and that has been sort of an opportunity that's really helped me in my career experience. And I've been very grateful for those moments where they're like, hey, you want to do it and do it bigger, go for it. And so finding those organizations also that get excited about folks who I call them the side hustle projects, but things that you're really passionate about, whether it's the work you're doing through your employee resource community or some of that extra project that you're taking on for your team effectiveness, all of those sort of start to create paths into people-oriented careers. And we actually need leaders who have been in the business sitting in the people function. So never be like afraid to be like, oh, I'm working in sales. Can I make this transition? Absolutely. I'm working in ops. Can I make that transition? You can. Absolutely.
So my last question for you is, and I ask this to everybody, what is bringing you joy right now?
I think the thing that is bringing me joy is building. I think I recognize at this stage of my career that building something amazing and cool that solves a problem that I see as a consumer, it's bringing me joy. And what's funny about the joy is that the joy isn't because the work is easy. The joy is feeling like I'm making an impact. And not just me on my own, obviously, it's an incredible group of humans that I get to work with. Together, we're making an impact. And the ability to kind of build a platform that is solving a problem that I feel really personally passionate about, and building a community for people who this purpose resonates for, and getting to serve them and serve this community so that we can do it, brings me a lot of joy. And I think there is something to when your career kind of overlaps with purpose, it's like a double rainbow. And I've had this at multiple stages of my career where something I felt really passionately about, I not only got to work on my personal craft, but I got to do it for something that I actually really believe a lot in. And that's sort of how my career is finding me right now at Patreon. And we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to expand. I'm so inspired by my fellow Patreonauts who also feel the same way. I'll even throw that invitation out there for people who are thinking about their career decisions and where they want to go and grow. Always try to find that double rainbow where you get to do your craft and do it for a cause that you feel so deeply. And it comes across, Nicole, in the work that you do, certainly with my coworkers, I feel that way as well. I'm throwing that invitation out there for some people that might be coming to Patreon, and we're continuing to grow and expand. So I just want to put that out there. We need all of the engineers and the folks who want to work side by side with creators and helping them grow their business on all sides. On the people team, we're growing. So for those builders out there, come build with us. And that brings me a lot of joy.
Well, I'm so grateful I get to build alongside y'all and to be in conversation with all of you. And also thank you for giving us a platform to be able to build something with our community. I know that there's so many people listening right now that are actively supporting us in Patreon or supporting us in any way that they can. So I'm just grateful because I think we can build a better future for all of us if we do it together.
I couldn't agree more. And doing it for you and with you is like the reason that we come to work every single day. And you inspire us, you inspire me, which I've told you many times. And so just feeling like in some small way we've been able to make impact, that is amazing. So thank you for that. And thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for joining me on this podcast today.
It's been such a treat.
All right. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Well, thank you. You too. Be well.
To learn more about Patreon, you can go to patreon.com or follow them on social media at Patreon. You can also subscribe to our Patreon to support our work. It's greatly appreciated. To learn more about Tiffany and follow her work, you can search for Tiffany Stevenson on LinkedIn. You can also follow her on Twitter at @MissLady_Tiff, T-I-F-F. You can subscribe to the Anti-Racism Daily podcast by searching Anti-Racism Daily on all of your favorite podcast networks. To subscribe to our free daily newsletter, you can go to antiracismdaily.com and you'll receive daily tactical actions to dismantle white supremacy. The Anti-Racism Daily Podcast is co-hosted and co-produced by me, Nicole Cardoza.
And co-produced and edited by me, Mallory Chang.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.